Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Nice to be back together again. See some faces we haven't seen for a while. It's nice to have you back with us. There's still a few families that are out either quarantining or recovering or both. And then there are several families that have traveled to be with their families tomorrow for Thanksgiving. We have a lot to be thankful for. Amen. And we welcome our visitors tonight, or God bless you. I say our family that attends church other places are visiting us tonight. God bless you. Nice to have you with us. So don't forget, you know, tomorrow being Thanksgiving, don't forget to set your bathroom scale back 15 pounds at midnight. Sister Baker and I went on an almost no-carb diet starting in April, and we've stuck to it for the most part. I don't know about tomorrow, though. Mike said he made a coconut cream pie, and he's bragging about it. And yeah, well, hallelujah anyhow. Let's stand tonight. Let's continue to keep our other brothers and sisters in prayer as they're recovering from what the enemy's trying to hand out. We have no promise that we won't get sick, but we do have promise that he's our healer. And we're standing on that promise. Amen. So I just have a simple thought here tonight. Nothing new, just kind of going down the same theme that we've been looking at here lately. Looking at our inheritance, how our inheritance has been restored back to us, but we've got to walk in it, we've got to possess it. And as we come to maturity in this last age, part of that inheritance is speaking in heavenly places here on the earth. Yes. You say, well, how can I speak in heavenly places while I'm here on the earth? Well, part of you is in heavenly places. Part of you is here temporarily on the earth. But it's up to you to speak. And what you're saying is you're speaking his word. You've ate the book, and now you're going to prophesy again. You're going to say the same thing that's already been said, but you're saying it with inspiration, and you're speaking it in due season, and heaven and earth will back it up. Amen. So I want to read from Matthew chapter 6. We'll read a few verses from there, and then we'll read from Ephesians chapter 1. Before we go to prayer here tonight. Matthew chapter 6, very familiar. You know, Peter said he wanted to stir up their minds and to speak about things. He says, though you already know these things, right? So we don't just hear it one time, right? Sometimes we get to hear things over and over and over, but in the right season, it strikes and God quickens it, and it won't return into him void, but it'll accomplish what he sent it to do. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it already is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Again, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, we pray, thy will be done. Be it unto me according to thy word in his His will is his word. But how can you say, be it unto me, if you don't know what it is? Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. In other words, he's set your destiny according to his purpose to work all things according to the counsel of his own will. So what part of this is you? This is his will that you're agreeing with. Now, Brother Branham was sent first to the Pentecostals because they were they had the latest light and they were walking in the light, and so they had the opportunity to walk further as the message was brought to them. But this word predestinate, even though it's in the Bible, they choked on it. And Brother Branham would kind of dodge, and he'd say, you know, he'd say that word, and then he'd kind of back up a little bit. He wouldn't compromise him by any means, but he just kind of, he knew that they were choking on it. But once the word came open, he never pulled back on it. From that point on, this is not what you're doing. This is what he's doing. And man wants to save himself. Man wants to have a part in this. So man struggles with it, like Cain did. Said, here's what I want to bring you. Take it or leave it. And God said, I'll leave it. Just go do what your brother did, because that's what I want. Right. Amen. That's what we want. Let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Be it unto me according to thy word. How many has a need tonight? You'd like to make it known with an uplifted hand. Father, as we come on this eve of Thanksgiving, Lord, our hearts are burning within us to be fellowshipping with you once again on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. And we just thank you so much, Lord, for bringing brothers and sisters back together once again. And we pray for those that are still out. We ask that you would raise them up, Lord, and those that are traveling, we pray, Lord, that you keep them safe and that you bless them, Lord, and bring them back safely amongst us once again. And Father, we just love you and we thank you. And Lord, we're looking to you, the author and finisher of our faith tonight, knowing that you know each hand that was raised. You know what the need was before the hand was raised. In fact, you knew before the foundation of the world that they'd have a need and that the hand would go up tonight. And Father, you have provided all of our needs, but you've instructed us to ask. And so they're making it known with an uplifted hand. Now, Father, may your word go forth and release to them whatever it is that they have need of. And Father, we surely give you all praise and honor and glory. We love you. We're so thankful, Lord, to be able to gather together on this midweek service. And we just ask, Lord, that you'd bless each and every one, those that are listening in tonight, many are listening in, and those that are in the building, those that might listen in later, just ask that you bless each and every one. In your precious name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. Amen. You may be seated. So I want to title the thought here tonight, God's Purpose Fulfilled in You. God's Purpose Fulfilled in You. Now, we know that none of us look down through time. We didn't pre-exist in that form. We were, if you're a child of God, if you're a seed of God, you existed as a thought in his thinking. But of course, we know his thoughts are eternal. So if you're ever going to have eternal life, you had eternal life. But your mind was darkened to it. But God had his, he knows his thoughts that he thought towards you. And his thoughts are of peace and not of evil, to bring you to your expected end. So God has a purpose in your life. God wrote out the whole script. He wrote out the whole play, if you will, the drama of redemption. He decided who the actors would be, decided what each and every part would be, and he wrote out your part in his word. He's already spoken your part, but now it's a matter of you agreeing on the earth with what has already been spoken in heaven, and that God's word would be fulfilled in your life. So we know that God has a plan for your life, and we know that you're not an accident. You know, as we were speaking here a week or so ago, you've already survived one in a million once. You know, just you arriving here was supernatural because you weren't the only germ that was traveling to that egg that was in your mother's womb. There were others, but the one that had you in it, the one that represented you, was the one that made it through. It wasn't the strongest. It wasn't the first. It wasn't the, you know, it was the predestinated one, and God watched over it. So we know God has a plan for your life, and we know that there's nothing that he can't do. We know that all things are possible, and with God, nothing is impossible, right? So I'd like to read, we're going to read just a few scriptures here tonight, and a few quotes. I hope you don't mind. But we're just going to remind you of some things you already know and stir up your remembrance and just challenge you to keep going. Psalm chapter 46, verse 1. To the chief musician for the sons of Korah, a song upon Alameth. God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. Friends, this is true. This has never not been true. No matter what you're going through, he's always a very present help. In trouble, out of trouble, before you get in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though mountains shake with the swelling thereof. That, you know, that's kind of a scary thought, if you will. I mean, everything that we count on, we can't count on. When the earth is moving, you know, we lived out in California. My wife was actually born and raised there. And I moved there when my dad was retiring from the Air Force. And so I lived several years out there as well. There's something about the earth moving underneath your feet. I mean, that's something that you just... It's just a given that the earth isn't going to move. Everything else is going to move, but not the earth. But when the earth starts moving, you start questioning everything. You start wondering, what can I stand on? What can I believe? And here, all hell is breaking loose here on the earth in this psalm. The earth is moving and shaking. But we say, therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though waters thereof roar and be troubled, though mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. And the church says, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early, the heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in fire. Be still. And know that I am God. I will be exalted amongst the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. If God is for you, who can be against you tonight, friends? What shall we fear tonight? And what benefit is there in fear and worry? Listen to this. Brother Branham says, when Jesus, we all believe that he was the Son of God. Is that right? We accept him as the Son of God, and he was more than a man. God was in Jesus. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. He was a God-man, God working through him, the first of the God race. But when he met Satan, or Satan met him, he didn't use any of his fine gifts, which I believe that in him dwelt all the powers of heavens was in him. In him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. But he never used any of them to defeat the enemy. When he met Satan, Satan tempted him. And we know that he was tempted. A lot of people don't understand the difference between temptation and sin. A lot of people think because they were tempted that they sinned. Well, sin is attractive. The temptation is there. Right? Come on, help me out here. Jesus was tempted in all ways, yet without sin. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Then upon the pinnacle of the temple, he met him again with the word of God. When he taken him up in the mountain, he met him again with the word of God. So showing to us as our example that the word of God will defeat the enemy any place, anywhere, anytime it is written. So I'm so thankful this evening, friends, to know that when God took on human flesh and became a man, he became one of us, and he showed us how to defeat our enemy. He didn't just talk about it, he demonstrated it. And he didn't use his heavenly powers, as Brother Branham said, but he used "it is written." He faced his enemy just said what the word said. He didn't have to shout. Nothing wrong with shouting, but the devil can hear you just fine, whether you whisper or whether you raise your voice. He's not impressed when you yell at him. He didn't have to repeat it over and over and over and over and over. He just spoke the right word in the right season, and the word did the rest, because in the word was the power. And we know that the word of God can never fail, but it will accomplish what it was sent out to do. And it's not something that we have to wonder about. It's not something that we have to probe. It's not something we have to guess. And friends, that's why it was so necessary in this hour when the word was restored for it to be demonstrated to us once again. Because we had every right to say, well, is this really the word? Because we hadn't seen the word. Certainly not the fullness of the word for, since the first church age. So God always vindicates his word by bringing it to pass. And I'm here to say tonight, friends, this word wasn't just vindicated. It's over vindicated. It's more proven than anything. In fact, there was more proof. There is more proof in our day than there was 2,000 years ago. So it's not something that we have to wonder about. It's not something that we, because many of us were raised in the denominational churches, and they said, well, in a way, a certain scripture, they'd say, well, in a way, or sometimes, or it's for certain people or certain occasions. You just never know whether it applies or not. And others would say, oh, no, that was for another day. God wants you to just be noble and quote unquote believe. Of course, they don't know what believe is. It's a revelation. It's not hope. It's not you agreeing with something mentally, but it's God revealing it to you, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. So we were told all these things, but God showed us and proved it to us. But now it's time for us to walk in it. It's not a one-man rapture. We recognize our prophet's position, and we're thankful, and frankly, we're thankful that wasn't our position, right? But God didn't send him so that he could rapture one man. But he showed us what the first fruits of the harvest would look like, and when the rest of the harvest begins to mature by receiving this word that was brought, it'll bring forth the same fruit. So, God's word is amen and amen. In fact, he is the amen of his own word. And he amens his word by bringing it to pass. He interprets his word by bringing it to pass. So if God's with us tonight, friends, who can be against us? Whom shall we fear? We don't have to worry anymore. Isn't that wonderful? For faith in his word, it eliminates any worry in our lives. So why do we still worry? God's desire, friends, is for you to walk in rest. It's for you to have a peace in this life while he fulfills his purpose and brings the trials in your life to form that character in you that's necessary if you're going to rule and reign as you are predestinated to do. But we can't rest and worry at the same time. How many knows that? And we can't take God at his word and worry at the same time. Because a worry is doubt. Worry will actually, if you stay in that channel, worry will take the Christ right out of you. And it's what actually, it's the source of negativity in our life. When we give in to worry, when we give place to worry. And yet, what worry have you ever worried that amounted to anything? How did it ever change anything? So when we get worked up and we worry and we panic and we're actually working against our own faith. You're either in his hands or you're not. Your footsteps are either ordered or they aren't. And we're standing against that word of God that has already been spoken concerning you when you worry. So every word concerning you has already been spoken in heaven. But now we agree, say, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So now somebody has to speak it here on the earth. You know, the part that we've been given in this great drama is the easy part. Well, it's easy in theory. Let me just put it that way. But we try to do the hard part, right? It's not up to you to do the supernatural. It's not up to you to make God's word come to pass. You don't have to back up God's word. You don't have to vindicate God's word. Your part is to only
believe.
That's the theme of our message. Only
believe.
Only
believe.
Be it unto me according to thy word. You are a betting ground because God's word won't take place here on the earth unless there's somebody here on the earth to be a betting ground. There's somebody here that's agreeing with the word. So your part is just to agree with it. The word will do what it was said to do. Somebody say praise the Lord. So every word actually concerning you, concerning the bride of this last day, it's already been spoken.
Sure.
It's already been declared. But now it needs to be manifested here on the earth. And the one speaking it must receive that word in a believing heart without wavering. And as we've been looking at the last couple of weeks, he's prepared a place for you to stand in this hour, as he has in every age and every hour. But he's placed you upon a rock that's unmovable, unshakable. Everything else is moving and shaking, but not you. So the one that speaks this word must receive it in a believing heart. What more does God have to do, friends, to prove himself to us? He's everything that he said he was. He is our comforter. He is our Savior. He is our guide. He is our healer. He is our deliverer. He's our help in a time of trouble. He's our all in all. He's everything. And he's proven it and proven it and proven it. And he wants to over-vindicate himself to you. He wants to prove himself in every way. So that when you go to the other side, you won't be like the angels that'll just kind of agree, but you'll be able to say it by experience. You'll be able to say, I know God's real. I know that he's a healer because he healed me. Satan put sickness on me, but he healed me. I was bound, but he set me free. I was worrisome, but he gave me rest. He gave me peace. Glory to God. You can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. All things are possible to them that believe. God's purpose will be fulfilled, friends. You know, the people that don't understand free will and God's will and God's choice, they place it on man as if God's taking a chance. He will have what he's going to have. We look at Abraham. Abraham left. He left Israel when things got hard, headed over to Egypt. But God had already spoken the word concerning Abraham. He said, I will. Not if you do this. I will. This is what I'm going to do.
So he took that and made it work for Abraham's good and drove him right back into the promised land. Amen. Because God is, he's going to perform his will and his word. Amen. And the church says, Amen. God's purpose will be fulfilled. There's not a shadow of a doubt of it tonight, friends. Nothing's going to stop him. He's made his own bride. He designed her. He built her word upon word. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He has designed her, put her together. She's flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, thought of his thought, word of his word. And that word will not return into him void, but it will accomplish what he set it out to do. So it's amazing to think that the only thing that stands in the way of God's word for our lives is us. It's whether or not we're going to be a betting ground, whether or not we're going to agree with his word. The only part that we have to play, friends, is to believe. And then don't move. Don't believe, doubt, believe, doubt, believe, doubt. But to hold on. Now that's the hard part. To hold on, because the enemy's going to come in. The enemy's going to challenge you. You're going to have symptoms. You're going to have doubts that come into your mind, not in your soul, but come into your mind, into your thinking, into this battleground. You're going to have people looking at you saying, you're crazy. I don't see any proof. I don't see any evidence. Well, where's that? Been 25 years now. Where's that? But if you're a believer, you're just going to hold on to it. And it will work patience. And when patience is worked, it'll bring forth the peaceable fruit. So we know that Satan cannot stop the word concerning you. And he must give way to that word when it's received and then spoken. It's not you that's driving him away. It's the word. It's a law of God that cannot be broken, friends. That word has power. And that word will drive away your enemy. And if you're a child of God here tonight, God has already set your destiny, and God has already worked out all the details for your life, and God has already spoken his word concerning you. Now, it is true that you are on free moral agency and that you have a choice, right? But your destiny has already been set, and you were chosen in him before the foundation of the world to be this and this and this, right? So if you were in him, how are you not going to go back to him? Amen. If you were in him, you never did it to begin with. Amen. If you were in him, there's no sin in you. Right. I'm talking about your soul that's been quickened by his spirit. Right. Yes, amen? That part of you is a believer. Right. That part of you doesn't doubt. Right. And it's that part of you that's in heavenly places right now in Christ Jesus. Amen. That the devil can't find. Amen. And that the devil can't cause you to doubt. But he's still working on these other two realms. And he's a formidable enemy. So lots of bad things will come your way. You've been given a choice, right? But consider it this way, if you will. Do you believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of the living God? Do you believe that, Brother Branham put it this way, he was the attribute of the fullness of God. He was the thought that encompassed all that God was being expressed in this man, in this flesh, right? He had a soul. Thou shalt not leave my soul in hell, right? So he's the Son of God. So as a man, did he have a choice whether to die for you or not? Did he have a choice? Of course he did. But what choice could he make? Because of who he was. If you came from God and you're a part of God, it was his will. How could he make another choice? How could he not choose to die for you, Sister Susan? He could have. Could have had a family. Could have done a lot of things. But he chose the harder way. It was the right way. And a great portion of heaven awaited him because of that. Okay, so if he's the first of the God race, if he's the firstborn among many brethren, then that means there's a secondborn, a thirdborn, and, you know, if I'm the slowest one in the pack, well, then there's the final born. There's going to be a last one come in. Right? And all of us, now he chose you, but you still have to respond to that. But because of who you are, what are you going to choose? It's not rolling the dice. It's not, well, I chose you in me, then I gave you a choice, but you made the wrong choice. Now, it doesn't make it easy. You're going to pay for that choice. And you're going to agonize over it. Amen? But because of who you are, you're going to choose life. You're part of the Word, so you're going to agree with the Word. Didn't take the battle out. Didn't take the struggle out. So lots of bad things will come your way. You know, well, if I just get filled with the Holy Ghost and all my battles are over. No, they're just starting. Lots of bad things will come your way in this life. But God will cause all things, bad or good, to work together to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. So He'll take bad things and make some good come out of it. And the church says, this is how you get rid of the complaining. The complaining comes because you're not sure that this is supposed to be this way. You're not sure your footsteps are ordered. You're not sure that God's in this. He's not putting you out there and saying, okay, I'm going to leave you and, you know, good luck. You know, make the right choice and do this and do that. No, he's either going to keep you or he's not. He's the author and the finisher of your faith and everything in between. You still will have to make that painful choice. You'll still have to come to salvation and not recognizing who you are. And you'll still have to be born again of the Spirit and realize that you always were a son or daughter of God. Amen. So he's got it all in control. Every part of your life. He watched, even in the natural, he watched over your great-great-great uncle or great-great-great-great grandfather. Let's say he was in the Civil War and a bullet came his way, went through his hat, a cannonball came his way, and something told him duck. Why? Because you were in your great-great-great-great grandfather, and God was watching over you. Not that he wasn't watching over your great-great-great-great-grandfather, but you were in him. And you had to come forth in due season. Oh, friends, every part of your life is supernatural. You just don't know it until you're quickened. He's got it all in control. And when you believe this, when it starts breaking on you and you start taking God at his word, you will enter into your rest. As Ruth entered into her rest while her bridegroom went and did the rest, the third part of redemption for her. So listen, friends. We know just reminding you of a few things here tonight. We know that we stepped out of eternity to live in time. No, you don't remember being in eternity, but you were there in his thinking. We came from God. We were in his thinking. Nothing can ascend except at first descend. And his thoughts are eternal. And we will go back to God in due season. After we have performed, after the word has been accomplished. That he sent out to accomplish. After you have fulfilled his will and his word in your life. He's worked out every detail, the smallest details for your life. And you will make wrong choices and you will make mistakes. But God will turn those things around and still his will be fulfilled. Amen. His purpose for your life. Oh, friends, if you're chosen in him, you can't stop this. Well, you go ahead and make yourself bigger than God then. Well, he wanted me, but I wouldn't let him. He's not willing that any should perish, but that's whosoever will. But if your name was on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, if there hadn't have been a fall in the garden, you would have come forth. There was a fall in the garden. Guess what? You still came forth. But now you needed another birth to quicken you. And he said, I will not lose a single one. All that you've given me will come. You realize that statement when Jesus made that statement? He's looking down through time knowing that he's got to go into a tavern here, some dirty alleyway there, out in the jungles over here, because he's got some seed. And that seed might be buried so deep in sin that they have no idea who they are. Like Legion, be completely out of your mind and possessed of devils. But he made that statement. I'm going to find them. The Father's going to draw. And I'm going to keep him in the palm of my hand. They're all going to come. I won't lose any. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's the God I serve tonight, friends. I'm not worried about holding on to his hand. I want him to hold on to mine. Well, you believe it that way, you'll live loose. You just ain't born again if you're thinking that kind of thinking. You recognize what he's done for you, all you'll want to do is serve him. You realize he is God, that he is holy, that he is worthy. He's worthy. Friends, I give him everything in my life, and it still doesn't even begin to compare with what he's done for me. He deserves that. I'm not going to earn my way into the rapture. If I earned my way into the rapture, I didn't need a Savior. I didn't need Jesus Christ. Well, hallelujah. The legalist just can't let go of that. No, I got to do something. Okay, King, go ahead. Then you're going to brag. Right? That's why Paul said in Romans, it's by faith and not by works, lest any man should boast. Yeah, if it's Jesus Christ plus something that you do. You say, well, I have to make the choice. You will. If you're his, you will. And others will make that choice that are given the opportunity, and they will be saved. And frankly, it's a lot easier to get saved than many teach in our message. Actually, a lot easier, according to our prophet. So we stepped out of eternity to live in time. We came from God. We were in his thinking. And his thoughts are eternal. They were sent out to perform something, to accomplish something. And once it's accomplished, we go back to him in due season. And he's worked out every last little detail. And he says that he will not put more on us than we can bear. That he would with every temptation provide a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. And as we've said before, we used to think that meant he's going to take that temptation away from you. But no, that's not what he said. He will with that temptation provide a way of escape. What are you escaping? You're escaping not being able to bear it. That you may be able to bear it. He will give you strength in your weakness. Why would he put something on you and then say, okay, I'll leave it up to you to decide whether or not this is okay. And you say, oh no, it's more than I can bear. Okay, I'll get you out of that. No, he won't put more on you than you can bear. Right. But we will get to the point. And if you haven't, you will. We will get to the point where we think, I can't handle this. Like our prophet standing over his wife who's died and standing over his daughter who's dying. And he thinks he can't handle it. And in his most treacherous hour, something raises up in him that said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's not you, friends. That's Christ in you. That's him keeping you. And when that happens, there's such a peace, such a rest, because you realize no matter what I'm going through, depth or height or poverty or disease or affliction. No matter what I'm going through, he's with me. And he's going to take me all the way. Somebody say praise the Lord. Oh, this is a Thanksgiving message. I have so much to be thankful for tonight. God's not going to owe any man. We're not going to go there and say, well, I did all this, this, and this. No, he's paying you back with interest. So he watches over your life. We have men and women, so many in the Old Testament, that are for our examples, as we read, as Paul mentioned here, as we read last week. Men like Abraham as an example, or David, women like Ruth or Esther, and just to name a few. And we see how perfectly God orchestrated their lives. We look at the life of Ruth, and we see that Ruth was actually your shadow. Here's your shadow, and you're behind it. You're creating this shadow. She was your shadow here on the earth, forerunning you, and she had no clue. And guess what? She didn't mess it up. She didn't have 1,200 tapes to tell her what it was that she was living out. It was God's will being worked out in her life. Oh. And we see that, so they didn't even know the script that they would live out. And yet the script that God had for them was lived out. And here you are tonight, friends. And God has revealed to us in this hour the mystery of his will for our lives. It's no longer a mystery. It was a mystery. And it's not complicated either. So if people are going around explaining it and making it complicated, well, you just created a new... Not only was that a mystery, but you just created another mystery. What's wonderful about it is you wonder how God could ever hide himself in plain view. You couldn't see it until he revealed it to you. Once he reveals it to you, you can't not see it. And you think, how is it that I couldn't see that before? Because it has to be revealed to you. So, God has revealed to you the mystery of his will for your life. And he has shown you the vision concerning your life. This whole message is a vision. And we're being told this one's here and that one's there. And if you're not listening, you'll miss it. Even in the the parables, the bride coming in review, and she's in step. There's a certain order. She looks at some that are starting to go off. Brother Brown said, what caused them to start to go off? They were looking at others that were starting to go off. Friends, you look out into the world, it'll discourage you. You look out into the darkness, it'll discourage you. But he screamed. He said, stay in line. He said, look to me. Look to the word. Look to the light. Don't look into the darkness. Look to the light. That's what's happening to everybody else, but not you. So he saw you in that vision, among many others. You were there. And now you have that before you, and you realize, you know what? Now you know what you're... A people without a vision will perish. You're walking into that vision. That vision is you. You are seen in that vision. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Paul preached about you. There are things being fulfilled in this age that weren't supposed to be fulfilled in any other age. It's speaking of you. All you have to do is look to it and walk in it. You got to catch the vision and walk in it. Not just say those words, but see yourself in the volume of the book. And those whom he foreknew, he predestinated or set their destiny to walk in his will for their lives. And guess what? They will. But what sets your course, friends, is the hearing of the word. And that must be preached. It must be preached. God hasn't changed his program. It must be preached. And then you will catch the vision for your life. And you'll walk in it. So that's why we cannot underestimate, friends, the importance of revelation in our lives. and the coming together for the hearing of the word for your life. Should be the most important thing in your life. It is. I'll just go ahead and say it. If you're born again of the Spirit of God, it is the most important thing in your life. Listen to this. Revelation of Jesus Christ. Brother Bram says, the importance of revelation by the Spirit to a true believer can never be overemphasized. You can't overemphasize it. Upon this rock I'll build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. Jesus Christ revealed to you personally. Revelation means more to you than perhaps you realize. Now, I'm not talking about this book of Revelation in you. I'm talking about all revelation. It is tremendously important to the church. Now remember this, Christ in the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts. It's not you, it's Christ in you. But the book of Revelation shows how that the Antichrist spirit would come into the church and defile it, making it lukewarm, formal, powerless, balanced. You know the word backslid and the word balanced, they have the same number of letters and they both start with a B and they both end with a D. But the ones that are calling themselves balanced are really backslid. They're lukewarm. You better be a fanatic. Brother Brown told us a fanatic. He talked about a baseball fan. He said, if you're a real baseball fan, he says, you know, somebody hits a home run, you got a straw hat, you'll pull it down over your head. Phew! Go! You'll get excited. Maybe put your elbow through the wall like Ben Bryant did. Maybe not. Maybe you'll just nod real loud. Who cares how you act, but something's going to be stimulated inside. Touch not my oil or the wine. There'll be a stimulation that comes with that revelation. The importance of revelation by the Spirit to a true believer can never be overemphasized. So Brother Branham said, that's a real baseball fan. And fan is short for fanatic. Well, I don't want to be a fanatic. Okay, I guess you're lukewarm. Oh, no. I don't want to be that either. Okay, then there's only one more choice. Cold, dead, twice plucked up by the roots. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Oh, no, that's not me. Okay, then you're on fire. You're a fanatic. Oh, no, I'm balanced. Come on. Door one, door two, door three. There is no door four. And you don't get to pick how you're going to act. You don't know how you're going to act. Who cares? We're not putting it's not our acting that's important. It's letting God have his way. Now, I'm not talking about this book of Revelation and you. I'm talking about all revelation. It is tremendously important to the church. Now, remember this. Christ in the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts. But the book of Revelation shows how the Antichrist spirit would come into the church and defile it, making it lukewarm, formal, powerless. Brother Brown talks about churches that have become morgues. And that really broke on us. You know, we got to go to the UK a number of years back, and I'd never been to a church before where they buried the people inside the church. But then I thought, well, makes sense. It's a graveyard. It's a funeral parlor. You know, when they take somebody to the funeral parlor, some of these people, when they get through with them, they look better dead than they ever did alive. And that's what churches do. Put a little makeup on it and this and that. And Brother Bram said, somebody told him if somebody screamed, it would scare him to death. Well, yeah, you don't expect a dead person to scream. You're at a funeral. And you're looking backwards. He was this, he was that, he was lovely, he was friendly, but he's gone. And he'll come again someday. Right? Dead, formal, twice plucked up by the roots. Brother Brown said, some of these churches are like funeral parlors. He said, you're dead. They drain the blood out to make sure there's no chance of you coming back. And then they inject formaldehyde into you. You know where the word formal comes from? It's the root of formaldehyde. They inject their doctrine in you to keep you dead, right, to keep you formal. Yeah. Well, it would send a chill up my spine, would scare me to death. Brother Bram said to one person when they said that, he said, if you make it to heaven, if. He said, this is the quietest place you'll ever be. There's shouting and praising down in hell. There's weeping and gnashing of teeth. We're not promoting emotion for the sake of emotion. You know us much better than that. But wherever he's at, there's going to be some emotion. We don't take the emotion as our evidence, but we're not against it. Well, I'm just not the emotional type, Brother Doug. Okay. I saw you win the lottery the other day. You about jumped through your convertible. Tore the roof off. Thought you weren't. Listen, Brother Branham said, anything without emotion is dead. And without emotion, we should. God has emotion. God was moved. When God saw Adam put his arm around his wife and choose to walk out of the garden, God was moved. And Brother Branham put it this way. God said, I'm going to do this. It's being played out right now through this bride and this bridegroom. But this is what I'm going to do in 4,000 years. This is what I've purposed. It's being foreshadowed right here. He thought about it, thought about it, thought about it. But when it happened, he was moved. I've had the dead formal twice plucked up by the roots, make excuses, explain away kind of dead religion. You can keep it. I don't care how I got to act. It will make you live right. That's what I want. We're not all going to act the same way. Some are going to cry. Some are going to nod. Just don't nod out. That's those that live in the kingdom of Nod. Some are going to shout. Who cares? Glory to God. The book of Revelation shows how that Antichrist spirit would come into the church and defile it, making it lukewarm, powerless. I'll quit before that happens, friends. I'll fight. I'll battle. I'll plug away if it's me and Sister Baker, if it's me without Sister Baker. I ain't moving. Right. I've had the other. Right. Let people say whatever they want. Right. Jesus has been put out of the church in our church age. I'll stand with him without the camp. I don't care what you want to call me. You don't get to define who I am anyway. Glory to God. I want that life. The book of Revelation shows how that Antichrist spirit would come into the church and defile it, making it lukewarm, formal, powerless. It exposes Satan, revealing his works, attempted destruction of God's people, and the discrediting of God's word, right down to the time he's cast into the lake of fire. He fights that. He cannot stand it. He hates the life in the church. He knows that if the people get the true revelation, so this is what makes the difference. If the people get the true revelation of the true church and what she is and what she stands for and that she can do the greater works, she will be an invincible army. He's already said it, friends. This is going to happen. It is happening. If they get a true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church, and by God's Spirit discern and withstand that Antichrist spirit, Satan will be powerless before her. He will be as definitely thwarted today as when Christ withstood his every effort to gain power over him in the desert. Yes, Satan hates revelation. But guess what? We love it. Amen. With true revelation in our lives, the gates of hell cannot prevail against us, but we will prevail over them. I think it's just complimentary God getting the last word here. God took a perfect couple, put them in a perfect garden, gave them his perfect word, and Satan caused a fall. Now God takes a bunch of sinners, drunks, drug addicts, Republicans, libertarians. I won't say Democrat because some of you still believe Republican, Democrat, whatever. Who cares? I voted for him. You have a right to vote. We get that. But just keep politics out of this. Politics is what you have to deal with if you kick the Holy Spirit out of the church. Then the church is run by politics. I don't want politics. I want him to have his way, don't you? Glory to God. You'll recall I mentioned at the beginning of this message that this book that we are studying is the actual revelation of Jesus himself in the church and his work in future ages. Then I mentioned that it takes the Holy Spirit to give us revelation, or we will fail to get it. That's why you must be born again. Don't go out and teach everybody all the doctrines of the message. Get them born again. Bring these two thoughts together, and you will see that it won't take just ordinary study and thinking to make this book real. It's going to take the operation of the Holy Ghost. That means this book can't be revealed to anyone but a special class of people. His children. It will take one with prophetic insight. It'll take an eaglet in this hour to catch what the eagle is telling him. It will take an eagle anointing in this age. Not an explaining anointing. An eagle anointing. It will take one with prophetic insight. It will require the ability to hear from God. He who hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. It will require supernatural instruction. Not just a student comparing verse with verse. Though that is good, but a mystery requires the teaching of the Spirit, or it never becomes clear. Oh, how we need to hear from God and lay ourselves open and become yielded to the Spirit to hear and to know. As I've already said, the book Revelation is the consummation of the Scriptures. It's even placed exactly in the right in the canon of the Scripture at the end. Now, you can know why it says that anyone who reads or even hears is blessed. It is the revelation of God that will give you authority over the devil. And you can see why they who would add or take away from it would be cursed. It'd have to be so. For who can add or take away from the perfect revelation of God and overcome the enemy? I didn't finish that thought earlier. Probably a few other ones too, but God took a bunch of drunks and drug addicts and people that thought they sinned away their day of grace or never knew anything about heathens, right? Cleaned them up, sanctified them, justified them, sanctified them, filled them with the Holy Ghost, right? Gave them his perfect word and placed them in Satan's Eden. The most wicked age. Right. And he said, that one that was in a perfect Eden with a perfect word, in a perfect garden, she fell. This one won't. Right. Thus saith the Lord. Right. You know what the difference is in this case, friends? Where was Adam when Eve fell? Why did he leave her? The last Adam said, I'll never leave you, nor forsake you. I'll be with you, even in you. How can you be deceived if he's in you? He's going to keep you. He promised. Somebody say, praise the Lord. That means this book can't be revealed to anyone but a special class of people. It will take one with prophetic insight. It will require the ability to hear from God. It will require supernatural instruction, not just a student comparing verse with verse, though that's good, but a mystery requires teaching of the Spirit or it never becomes clear. How we need to hear from God and lay ourselves open and become yielded to the Spirit and hear and know As I've already said, the book of Revelation is the consummation of the scriptures. It's even placed exactly right in the canon of scripture at the end. Now you can know why it says that anyone who reads or even hears it is blessed. It's the revelation of God that will give you authority over the devil. Jesus didn't just speak the word, he spoke the right word. God put that word on his lips. And you can see why they who would add or take away from it would be cursed. It would have to be so. For who can add or take away from the perfect revelation of God and overcome the enemy? It's that simple. There is nothing of such prevailing power as the revelation of the word. So if you know that, if you really believe that, you'll do everything you can to hear that word. And you'll listen to the recordings all you can as well. People say we're trying to take you away from that. Of course not. I probably listen to it more than people that say we're taking them away from it. Where do you think we're getting this? We're saying what the guy on the tape said. He turned my heart. See, in verse 3, a blessing is pronounced on those who give special attention to this book. I think this refers to the Old Testament covenant of the priest reading the word to the congregation in the morning, you see. Man could not read, so the priest had to read to them. But as long as it was the word, the blessing was there. It didn't matter if it was read or heard. Isn't that wonderful? So we cannot, as Brother Brown said, we cannot overemphasize the importance of revelation to the true believer. But revelation comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. So hearing should be important to us. Not hearing about Trump, not hearing about COVID, not hearing about politics, not hearing about how rotten things are out there. But hearing the word. Not just any word, but his word. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. I saw something yesterday where somebody said, so, you don't want to come to his house on the earth, yet you expect to live in his mansion in heaven. Whew. Ouch. That's quite a thought, isn't it? Well, I got this to do and that to do, and it's boring. And you just need a berth. The thing of it is, friends, if you are a child of God, you do value his word above your very life itself. You love to hear his word. And his word is speaking directly to you. It's not just to anybody. It's speaking right to you. And without it, you are powerless to do anything. With it, you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. So your future is crystal clear. This message shows you your future. We used to think in our infancy of the message, we used to think, okay, I'm reading this, so I got to try to be this, and I'm reading that, I got to try to do that, you know. Here's how a Christian's supposed to act. Here's this, that, the other. We didn't know that, but I'm sure going to get busy. I'm sure going to try and be that. But then you find out as you grow and mature, you find out this message is describing you. It's putting before you who you are, so that when you see it, then you can begin to walk in it. And the things that you aren't can be stripped away until you see that reflection of yourself in that mirror. So friends, he got you here to the earth. He planted you in the womb of your mother. Brother Branham put it this way, I think it was Victory Day. He said, God knew what time, what season, what bed you'd be planted in. Then he said, the word of God for this hour. He watched over you. He drew you to himself in due season. You can't come except he draws. And then he woke you to your destiny. And your future is exciting, friends. No matter what comes your way. I didn't say your trials would be easy. I said your future is exciting. Because your walk is supernatural. From the moment you came here to the earth, there was an angel watching over you. You didn't know it was you. But your mind was darkened to who and what you are and what your purpose is in this life. But even when your mind was darkened, something was watching over your life. When you did this stupid thing or that stupid thing and you should have died, something was watching over your life. Because God has great plans for you. And you are very important to Him. Now the world tried to define you first. Satan tried to be your designer. But you found out you never did fit into those other roles that your enemy declared. You know, you tried to be a biker. You weren't a very good one. You tried to be a jock. Couldn't throw a ball. You tried to do this. You tried to do that. Not saying if you can throw a ball that there's something bad. Just what I'm saying is you were trying to find out who you are. And over and over and over, well, I ain't this and I ain't that and I ain't this. I ain't good at nothing. Aren't you glad you're a misfit here tonight?
Right.
Think about it, friends. If you did fit out there somewhere, you wouldn't be here tonight. Thank God you didn't fit. Thank God you were threaded to something else. And you had to be drawn. You were frustrated. You were disillusioned. Perhaps. And try as you did, you were a misfit. You were a second or third rate version of whatever Satan was trying to define you as. But I'm here to tell you tonight, friends, that you are exactly what God said that you are. And you have been quickened, and that seed that's down on the inside, which is His Word, will come forth exactly as He said it would. Maybe I need to say that again. We've got a couple of tentative... Amen. You're not going to do it. It's in the seed. When you get saved, you know, I remember when this message broke on me and everything was coming open, I was crying all the time. I was a mess. I grew up in church and now I'm getting schooled for the first time in my life. I didn't understand this, that, and the other. Nobody could explain it. Now all of a sudden, it's so simple and it's being explained and I know it's true. And I'm just sure that I can convince other people of it too, because how could you not see this? Then you realize you have a love of the truth, and not everybody has a love of the truth. But you had a desire. It was a deep calling to the deep. And you begin to realize I wasn't created to be what I've already lived. I was created to be something else. And it wasn't, you know, I had to grow up kind of quick. I didn't say I grew all the way up, but I couldn't be a baby too long. Because just in short order, I'm being told by this one group, well, you know, Brother Brown said the rapture would take place on the West Coast. We're about as far west as you can get, so you got to be us four no more. And they look like something out of a Little House on the Prairie, you know. They had sleeves down here, women wearing bonnets, and he was talking about the fourth pole. I'm still trying to figure out the third pole. Got some star charts up there. Well, something's in Achilles' heel and this star, and that means you're going to need surgery. And I'm like, yabba dabba doo. Honey, let's go. You know, then you hear the new birth isn't just a birth. It's a birth after a birth after a birth. I can cope with Brother Branham's quotes. Maybe I can't explain it when you're trying to give me your version of it. But if I hold on to it, if you have the Holy Spirit, it'll ring a certain bell when it's the truth. Amen. Brother Branham said in blasphemous names, I believe it was, he said it's a birth after birth after birth, right? You're birthed into this, into this, into this, into this. That's how he put it, right? Whatever's in that seed is already in the seed. Amen. Just quicken the seed. And once the seed is quickened, what's in it will begin to come out. This will come out, and that will come out, and this will come out. But you don't inject it into there. You don't go to the altar every service. Well, I'm not sealed yet. I'm born again of His Spirit. I got the Holy Ghost, but I could still fall away. It doesn't even ring a bell. If you take an apple seed and plant it, what are you going to get? How do you know? How do you know you're not going to get tomatoes or avocados? Because you planted an apple seed. You're going to get what's in the apple seed. Everything that's ever going to come out of that seed is in the seed. You don't have to inject anything else into it. You must be born again. You are exactly what God said that you are. And you have been quickened. And that seed, which is His word, will come forth exactly as He said it would. Once it's brought to life, it can only bring forth according to what's inside of it. You can't be a believing unbeliever. You can't be a drunk, sober man. When you're born again of the Spirit of God, you believe. You have one sense in the soul, and that's faith. Amen. You take God at His word. How could you doubt? Brother Branham said, you can't doubt the word because you're part of the word. Amen. And how can the word doubt the word? Put another way, the DNA code has already been written concerning you. Oh, I love this. I'm sorry. I don't want to keep you too long here tonight, but I sort of do. I love this. I started looking into the study of DNA about 20 years ago when it was just breaking forth and they were just making great strides. And in that study, I realized that they can look in your DNA and they can say, you're going to have heart trouble or you're going to have kidney trouble or you're going to have sugar diabetes or because it's already, you didn't choose it. It's programmed into you. A lot of these are defects. They're mutations in the gene. Sins of the fathers visited upon the children. Takes 12 generations to breed it out. As the Bible says, well, science says the same thing, right? It's already in you. If you're going to be musical, it's not because you decided to. You were born. How do I know that? Because I still will try to make sound on that piano, and it hurts people's ears. I have a desire, but I don't have... I can play a nice song, but it's 99% perspiration and 1% inspiration, right? Others never take a lesson in their life, and the keys are just coming off the board, right, Victoria? We had to replace the piano because the keys were coming right off. It's in you, right? If you're going to be athletic, it's in you. If you're going to be intelligent, you didn't choose to be intelligent. It's in you. So really, if you want to get depressed tonight, think about this. You couldn't be anything other than what you were born to be in your first birth. It was already determined. It's in your DNA. You're carrying around... Science is learning that in every cell of your body except your blood cells, you're carrying a book of life in you. And they can read that book of life and tell you who you are and what you are. And they can predict what you're going to do. Oh, it's raising all kinds of, you know, it's a tree of knowledge that this is coming off of. So it's raising all kinds of issues, you know, well, the insurance company gets it. Well, I see you looking in your DNA, you're going to have this, that, and the other. So we're just going to charge you three times as much, you know. Oh, no, it's a sure thing. So that's pretty depressing, isn't it, when you think about it? But now think about this. Brother Branham says, you're of your gene of your Heavenly Father. So whatever's in Him is in you. If there's healing in Him, it's in you. Amen. Whatever is in Him is in you. Amen. And you don't have to try to be that way. You are that. Amen. But you're coming to that recognition, that realization of who and what you are. Glory to God. The code has already been written concerning you. And just as you can't change your height or your eye color, I mean permanently, or your physical temperament perhaps, you also can't change that seed that's predestinated to come forth. Now your enemy is going to fight against this. And his battleground is in your mind. And you know this. So he will war against you to try to keep you from seeing who you really are and what God's plan is for your life. That's why he hates this message. And you will fight until you draw your very last breath. But what you have been given to fight against your enemy is God's word concerning you. When the bride knows who she is. Not thinks, knows. It has to be revealed. As it unfolds to you, you speak it. You agree with it. You apply it to your life. And it changes you. From glory to glory to glory. Until the full image of Christ is on display in your character. And Satan knows how valuable you are to God. You are a hidden treasure. He bought the whole field. Just because you were in the field. He knows how valuable you are. And Satan wants to have your position that he's been kicked out of. And he knows the value of that position. But he doesn't want you to know that. So it doesn't matter what you're going through tonight. And when we say that, that's not heartless. It doesn't mean we're saying, it don't matter what you're going through. But no matter what you're going through tonight, your life is in the hands of Almighty God. And nothing raised against you can prosper. Your suffering many times, friends, is self-inflicted. There's suffering that we can't avoid, but there's suffering that we bring on ourselves. You see, when we give in to Satan's thinking concerning us, we're not resting. And if you're not resting, you're suffering as a consequence. But when you stand on that unmovable, unshakable word of the Lord, and you resist whatever's coming against you, you become who you are. You become the manifestation of who you are. Because there's a word that you're predestinated to fulfill. You are in the volume of the book. Are you still with me? So the devil is very concerned tonight, friends, and he's running to and fro in a great panic in this hour. It looks like he has the upper hand. He doesn't. He's in a great panic. He knows he's defeated. He knows the resurrection is coming. He knows he's already lost his grip on your soul and he can't find it. And he knows that your body is likewise going to escape from his clutches and be changed and move into that other dimension in heavenly places where your soul is already at. And he is not the author and finisher of your life. He does not define who you are. He is not your designer. Your life is being rewritten. Mercy has rewritten your life. Your life is being written in time to match what has already been written concerning you before the foundation of the world. So take the inoculation tonight, friends. It's been provided to us. And it's the same inoculation that kept Satan from keeping Jesus in the grave. If you've been quickened by his spirit, if you've received life from him, the inoculation of eternal life, there's not enough devils in hell to keep you in the grave or prevail against you. You will come forth and you will match what the word has already declared concerning you. Just as Abraham matched what God said concerning him. You will overcome. I'm pulling over. Stay with me. Don't get distracted. I'm talking to you. You're looking at me. I don't mean to. Don't take this the wrong way. Have you ever met somebody you've never seen him before and one eye's looking one way and one eye's looking the other way? You're not sure which eye to look at? You haven't? No? Okay, I have. I had an uncle and I was wondering, is he watching me? Is he staring at me? One eye's going this way, one eye's going that way.
Well, I got your attention anyway.
You will come forth and you will be a match to what the Word has declared you to be. You will overcome as you walk through Satan's Eden, and you will discern the Antichrist spirit because you have Christ's spirit in you, and you will withstand it, and you will prevail over it, and it will be powerless before you as you begin to recognize who and what you are. So don't miss what God's doing right now. The world is missing it, and a whole lot of people in our own ranks is missing it. They're waiting for something. Or they're looking back. Well, something else has to happen. It's happening. It's just not a public show. It's happening. It's happening behind the veil. He's supping with you and you with him. You're feeding on his unfailing body word. There's a revival that's taking place right now, Brother Henry. Right now. And it's taking place in a many-membered body all over the earth. It's not this building or this organization or that, even Love Divine Fellowship. It's an individual walk, but each one of those individuals are making up a mystical body, and it's an invisible union. We see a lot of visible unions out there claiming to be it. It's an invisible union. It'll become visible one day, but if you wait for that, it's too late. There is a revival taking place. And it is a word revival, but not a dead letter revival. A living word revival. Rhema. And it will soon change your body. And there's a stimulation that comes with the revealing of the word as it's quickened to you. You can't help it. It's not an emotion, although emotion may come with it. And there's a life to cause what's been written and what's been spoken concerning you to be on this earth what it already is in heavenly places. You're surrendering to it. Be of good cheer tonight, friends. This isn't an organizational, orchestrated revival. It's not a matter of being at this church or that church or under this man or that man. It's not the product of man. Not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. It is the unfailing body word of the Son of Man that you are feeding on, and it is reviving the body of Christ, and it is producing another book of Acts. And if you can't say amen to it, then don't say amen to the quote that I read at the very beginning where he said that it would. It's Christ in you. You're not doing it. He is. You are who he says you are. And in the end, we'll find out you are who you say you are, whether you're in Christ or of the world. You are a lived voice. So in this hour, if you're in Christ, you are what was in the back parts of his mind now being lived out. And this is more than doctrine, though doctrine's important. And this is much more than just having a certain order, though we believe in order. Those things are good. But this is Zoe life being lived out in a body. This is Christ having the preeminence in a body. The Son of Man said, I had no place to lay. He said, the foxes have dens and, you know, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Well, he does now. He's found a body on the earth to place his head upon. And he's having the preeminence in that body. And it's shaking things in heaven. And it's shaking things on the earth. And it's shaking things in hell. Demons are trembling. We know this is an individual walk. And we know that your life may seem so ordinary. It may not seem glamorous to the world or even to you, perhaps. The world might not see any value to your life. Who could see value in the life of Ruth? Who could predict by looking at Ruth that she would be in the lineage of Christ? That she would be married to Boaz? The world might not see any value to your life, but eternal life dwells in you. And nobody can stop that life from bringing you to your expected end. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I want to read another scripture here for just a moment. Isaiah 59:19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. You're that standard. You're that written epistle that's being read of all men. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion. The bride is Zion. And unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord, as for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord, my spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shalt not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of the seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Amen. Thus saith the Lord. Let's stand tonight, friends. Listen, you might pray for something, and you might not see it answered for years. But God will bring it to pass. Amen. So don't be afraid to ask for big things and to believe for big things. Dwight Moody said one time, if God is your partner, you better have big plans. I'm convinced, friends, it's time for somebody to start speaking. I don't mean pink Cadillacs and carnality. Saying what the word has already declared concerning you. Speaking the word. You've eaten that word now. It's time to speak. God's purpose fulfilled in your life. You believe that? Let your confession match what's already been declared concerning you. Be it unto me according to thy word. If you can say this tonight, I want you to say it. I am an overcomer in Satan's Eden. I can do all things through Christ that gives me strength. I am at perfect rest. I have a peace the world knows nothing about. I'm healed. I'm delivered. I am being changed into his image from glory to glory. I'm not of this world. I was made for this hour. I'm in a new world. And I am walking in heavenly places. I am who I am says that I am. Let's say that one again. I am who I am says that I am. Don't think about that too much. I'm armed and dangerous. Living waters are flowing within me. The word is nigh me, even in my mouth. I'm the final voice in this final age. I'm taking with me all that's mine. I am an eternal being living in time. But I'm going back to eternity. I came from eternity. I'm going back to eternity. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we love you so much. Lord, we know that these are things that we've all heard perhaps in different times. And we're not bringing something new. I don't want to bring something new. I just want to agree with what's already been said. But I want to agree with revelation. I'm not a parrot. If that's all you wanted me to do is be a parrot, then parrots are going to heaven. My tape machine's going to heaven because it can quote and pause, say everything a certain way. But I'm saying it as you bring the understanding. We're eating it, becoming one with it. Then prophesying again, which means to say the very same thing that's already been said, but we're saying it with revelation. You're giving us the word to speak. And your prophet taught us that the word of God spoke on human lips is the same thing as deity speaking. Because the word is deity. And we know that word will not return unto you void. It will accomplish what you sent it to do. Father, I pray that you search our hearts. I pray, Lord, that in this hour, this time of confusion, this time of unrest, everybody claiming to be speaking the truth. And we look out in the what's taking place in the nation, and one saying this and one saying that, and even science has got politics involved in it. People are saying, what are we going to believe and who are we going to believe? I'm so thankful tonight that you still are the way, the truth, and the life. And we choose to believe you. We choose to take you at your word. And Father, we thank you for your unshakable, unmovable, and unfailing words of promise to us. I pray, Lord, that you open the eyes of our understanding. And Lord, give us courage to walk in it, to not look to the left or the right, to not be concerned about what other people's opinions are, or whether this makes sense to other people, or how it appears to others, but to walk with you and to recognize that you will perform the very thing that you said that you would do. You'll bankrupt heaven before you allow one promise to go unfulfilled. When it's received in a believing heart, you'll bring it to pass. Father, I pray that each one would be encouraged here. Lord, as we go to our homes, as we perhaps go visit loved ones, wherever we might be, we have so much to be thankful for, Lord. We are the last and chosen generation, chosen for a purpose, and it's your purpose. And we're privileged, Lord, to be the mass on the stage that you're living these things out through. What a privilege it is to be identified with your word. What a privilege it is to have your word. And Lord, I'll never forget, by your grace, I'll never forget what it was like to walk in confusion for so long, wondering and probing and not really knowing. But then one day, you drew. One day, the light of this hour shined across my path. I've never been the same since, Lord. And I'm thankful for it. It's not me, it's you. But it's me taking you at your word. And it's you changing me from glory to glory into that very image that you already had concerning me before the foundation of the world. I pray that you'd move upon each and every heart. Lord, I pray if there be any sick amongst us, Lord, may their healing be received tonight in Jesus' name. Father, we bind every spirit of sickness in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we command that sickness to move out of the body of Christ in Jesus Christ's name. We know there's healing in the body. We know that, Lord, there's deliverance. Father, it's such a nervous, neurotic time, a neurotic age. The greatest fear of people in this hour is losing their minds. And yet, there's a crazy group of people on the earth that are actually trying to lose their mind so that they can take on the mind of Christ, so that they're no longer thinking their own thoughts, but they're thinking your thoughts as you reveal them to them, concerning them, seeing things from your point of view. Only you can do that, Lord. It wasn't possible for us to think higher thoughts, so you came down and lifted us up. You took us up into the headstone. You said, think my thoughts. Grow up. Stand up. Grow up into the headstone. Come to maturity. See what I had in the back parts of my mind that I'm revealing to you now. See the kinsman redeemer. See your purpose. See my plan and your part in it, who I am and who you are. What a privileged people. What a blessed people. Father, I pray that you encourage anyone that's discouraged. Father, I pray the peace that passes all understanding would replace any anxiety here tonight. And Father, as we take you at your word, may that rest be established in each and every heart, Lord, as we just believe you and take you at your word and realize there's nothing to fear. There's nothing to worry about. Nothing's out of order. Nothing's out of cater. All things are working together for the good. And when we come through the other side of the trial, we'll have gold that's been tried in the fire, more precious to us than natural gold. The trials of this life, more precious, because it's bringing Christ on display in our lives. Bless each and every one, Lord. Be in every home. Be with each and every one. And may we truly, may it just, we should be thankful every day. We understand that, Lord, and we are. But this particular day that our nation has set aside to give thanks, may we do so, Lord, from the bottom of our hearts. May we walk with you and talk with you and commune with you. And may we pay you the highest compliment that a human being can pay to you, and that's to take you at your word, to believe you. You have confidence in what you've placed in us. The least we can do is have confidence in you tonight, Lord. Bless each and every one. May every prayer be answered in your precious name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. He's got it all in his control. Yes, he does. He's got it all in control. He's put that reassurance, it's way down in my soul. He's got it all in control. My Father knows what I need. Do you believe that tonight? Yes, he does. My Father knows what I need. In everything I go through, he knows what's best for me. My Father knows what I need. He's got it all. He's got it all in his control. Amen. I believe that tonight. He's got it all in control. Let's put that reassurance, it's way down in my soul. He's got it all in control. My Father knows, my Father knows, my Father knows just what I need. I believe that. Amen. My Father knows what I need. And everything I go through, he knows what's best for me.